This episode of the Locked On Sabres podcast is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports.
Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is the Locked On NHL podcast, your Friday edition of the show with Joe DiBiase and Tom Gazzola. And Tom, it is playoff time, unless you're in Canada like you are, and it's not for another week.
You know what? It's weird. It is so bizarre right now, Joe. And the Oilers and Vancouver play Saturday afternoon. That game's been bumped up from an evening night game to a 1:30 Mountain Time start. So it's they just want to get it out of the way, and Vancouver has to play Calgary a bunch next week to close out the regular season. And like, all we've been talking about since, you know, Edmonton clinched its playoff spot and Montreal and Winnipeg sorted out third and fourth has been Edmonton Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. But like, you're like, oh yeah, on Wednesday, I was like, oh yeah, there's an afternoon game against Montreal. So my show cuts into our regular drive time show. Mm-hmm. I'm doing the pregame with our drive time host. He was great. Covers the Oilers, Jason Gregor. And it was so weird. And then the post game cut into the end of his show too. And we're like, oh, I fell asleep in the second intermission. It was one of those games where you're like, it didn't matter. There was 11 regulars out. And then you're like, oh yeah, the Oilers play the Canucks on Saturday. That night, the playoffs start. And it's just this bizarre part of this year that we knew would be bizarre, bonkers, maddening, crazy, weird. And we're just living it now, aren't we? We're just living it.
This is the weirdest part of the season, I think, so far, is that you've got Bruins and Capitals playing game one tomorrow night, Saturday night. And you will have Vancouver playing games against Calgary on Wednesday.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a very strange part of it. They could have canceled the games, I guess, but the league wants to make their money, fulfill those TV contracts, get the games in. So they're going to do that, and the regular season will come to an end on Wednesday, and everything's been decided. So we'll talk about the playoffs. We will pick the playoffs. This is the last time me and Tom will speak until the playoffs begin, as obviously you've got Washington and Boston as soon as tomorrow. So we're going to go through the first round. We're going to pick the series, how many games for each series, because we now know it's Toronto, Montreal, Edmonton, Winnipeg in the north, Colorado versus St. Louis, Vegas versus Minnesota in the west, Carolina versus Nashville, and Florida versus Tampa in the central. And then in the east, Pittsburgh versus the New York Islanders and Washington against Boston in the East Division. Before we get to that, let's clean up some of the big headlines from the week, even though I'm sure, even on our episodes since I've been on Tuesday with Mike DeStefano, we've been covering it all week here on the Locked On NHL podcast. You can check out our previous episodes for more expanded thoughts on this. But Tom, we should talk about Jack Eichel just a little bit, especially with me being the Sabres host here, because there have been some new developments since Tuesday. Kevin Adams, the Sabres GM, comes out and he says that, yes, there is a dispute right now between the player and the team in terms of how to go about his herniated neck injury. There is not a trade request. That's what Adams said. There is no official trade request from Eichel. And let me just throw this theory by you. We don't need to rehash a lot of what the week was, but let me just throw this theory by you. Eichel has a no movement clause that kicks in next summer, July 1st of 2022. And right, actually, even before we got going here, me and you were kind of talking about the Kings and Quinton Byfield. And like, maybe he's a big part of an Eichel trade coming back the other way. Maybe it's Alex Turcotte. Maybe it's a first or even two firsts. Because that's the trade offer that if you are following any Sabre fan on Twitter, that's their offer. That's the one they like the most. That's the one they want the most. It's two centers versus wingers the Rangers would be giving you, and potential high picks. The Kings have the 10th best lottery odds this year, so it's going to be a top 10 pick, and there's a very slight chance it's even higher. So my theory is, why wouldn't Eichel want to wait? Why would he want this to happen right now? Because if it depends on what his motivation is. If his motivation really is, get this surgery and just break apart from the Buffalo Sabres because it's the medical issue that is really driving him out. But if his main priority truly is getting to a contending team, getting to the playoffs, which he has not been even close to in his six-year career, why would you want to go to the Los Angeles Kings? They've won one playoff game in the last 7 years. They've just missed the playoffs for a third consecutive year. And especially if they're trading all these young pieces to Buffalo, it's not like they have some young up-and-coming core. They have a core that's actually aging out. So to me, if I'm Eichel, I might almost want to wait a year and then have more leverage in the matter. And that's if, you know, I guess there's a chance the Sabres have a good season and he changes his mind. But what do you think of that theory?
Wow. I mean, and I'm sure there's a lot of hubbub around Kings fans and on their message boards and Kings Twitter talking about that. But Joe, the first thing that Eichel and the Sabres have to do is get on the same page about his health. Obviously, when they're saying publicly that there's a dispute on how they want to go about it, that's a red flag, clearly. Yeah. And apparently that surgery that he wants, it's like a disc replacement. Correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah.
It's never been done by an NHL player.
That's key right there. Like, you've got a guy who's a superstar in this league, in the prime of his career, just getting to the prime of his career, obviously has not gone well. When it comes to any type of playoff success, but that seems like a scary, risky major surgery, but he has to be comfortable in his own body. They have to be on the same page and aligned. And maybe that's a breaking point that he could use to say, well, they didn't want to do what I wanted to do with my health. Mm-hmm. And that could be a way to kind of fracture away from the Buffalo Sabres. Fair point. Now in terms of if he wanted to choose, or if he could pick his spot, that no movement clause probably gives him even more power to do it. So maybe he has a surgery. I don't know how long the recovery for something like that is. Maybe he gets to miss out on next season or only play a part of it if he's good to go by the end of it. I don't know. But if he wants to get into that no movement clause territory where he has a lot more power, control, and say where he goes, that really ties the hands behind the back of the Buffalo Sabres, which sucks for them and their fans, but the player has the power, and that's part of the deal.
The player has the power. The Sabres, I will say, like, I've seen a lot of comparison to the Taylor Hall situation from the deadline where Hall kind of forced their hand, saying, I want to play for the Bruins. That's it. Boston knew that, and then they lowballed them. The thing with that is, it's a tough situation because you've got to keep a guy that's potentially very unhappy on your franchise. Mm-hmm. But if you get lowballed, even next summer, let's say Eichel gives you three teams and they're all lowballing you because they know that they're only bidding against each other and there's not this wide open bidding war across the sport, then the Sabres can say, all right, well, like if Eichel says, I'm only playing for the Bruins, I want to go home. That's it. The Sabres can go back to him and say, okay, well, then you're a Sabre till 2026.
Yep.
Because we have you under contract. So it's a little different, but I do think it's a weird situation in that I feel like there is a lot of leverage from the player, but there is also a lot of leverage from the team because of the term that they still have on the contract.
Yep.
And I'll just read off a couple odds from betonline.ag, our partner over there, that they have odds up on Eichel's next team. The Rangers are the favorite at plus 250. The Kings are plus 300. Then you've got some weird teams right after that. Arizona at plus 400. Boston at plus 500 is kind of funny to me because I don't think there's any way the Sabres would ever send him there. And then Calgary at plus 600. That even too, like, again, if I'm Eichel, why do I want to go to Calgary? I guess anything's better than the Sabres right now.
Right. And Calgary's lined up for a massive change overall when it comes to its roster. I don't know if Monahan's going to be sticking around. I don't know if Gaudreau to me is the one that his name's been bouncing around a lot in the last couple of off seasons, especially with the lack of playoff success in Calgary.
And he's entering a contract year.
Yeah. And if you could build a package around Gaudreau and he wants to go back east, I know he's a New Jersey, Pennsylvania kind of, he's from that area there.
Yeah.
If he wants to go back east, be closer to home, and they want to, in Buffalo, rebuild, and they think he could be a big part of it. You know what? To Gaudreau's credit, he's a very competitive player, a very skilled player. he's shown up. I thought watching him in the bubble even last year, I thought he performs better than people give him credit for in the postseason. He doesn't shy away as much as people think. He is an outstanding. He's a superstar in this league. Absolutely. So that's why I think Calgary is reasonable to think that there might be something there. Brad Treliving has no bullets left in the chamber when it comes to coaches. All he has left now is to change the roster and to see if Daryl Sutter can motivate that group or whatever group of players he has in front of him to make a push in the Pacific Division and when it returns next season. Because five coaches in 5 years, Joe, and Trey Living's been around for, I think, 7 years as GM. It hasn't worked. They finished first in the Western Conference a couple of years ago and then were ousted in the first round. Like, so the only thing left to do if you're Brad Treliving is do a massive changeover in the roster. And that's where that Eichel, maybe for one of Calgary's superstars, deal could come to fruition or might be realistic.
All right, well, let's change gears here. Enough on Eichel. You can hear plenty more on it. I mean, it locked on Sabres for the next... When's next season start? Do we know?
It's still October 13th.
Right? Yep. October 13th. So yeah, the next five, like exactly almost 5 months, we are going to be Jack Eichel trade central. There's not much else to talk about. So the draft, the free agency, there's some stuff, but yeah, we're going to be all on Eichel. So if you want more on that, Locked On Sabres is where you go for that. Let's do one division here. We're going to pick the first round and then we'll do the next three in our next segment here. So let's start with the North Division. Your North Division, it's going to start last next week. I think Wednesday I saw is the opening day for the playoffs there. We've got Toronto as the one seed against Montreal as the four. We'll start there. I do have odds in front of me. Actually, let me just do this real quick before we get to all of these series. Your guess on who the biggest favorite is in the first round to win their series and who the biggest and who the closest series is.
In the North or in general?
In general, the whole league. Who do you think the biggest favorite is? And which series do you think is the closest in the odds?
Okay, Tampa, Florida has to be pretty close. Just from I'd look at that one and say that.
That is actually the second closest series. Okay. The Lightning are only a minus 150 favorite. In fact, that just edges out Pittsburgh and Washington, who are at or Pittsburgh who's at minus 145. I was surprised by that, how close Florida was.
Yeah, I mean, they had a hell of a year, but lack of playoff success. We'll see what they can do, though. And then biggest blowout potential, heaviest favorite. I would go Carolina over Nashville. And then let me just throw a second. Has to be Avalanche St. Louis, right?
Avalanche St. Louis is number one. Carolina and Nashville, I think Carolina is the third biggest favorite right there with Toronto. But Colorado by a distance, minus 375 to win that series over St. Louis.
I would almost disagree with the odds there because I think Carolina is just going to walk all over Nashville and coast their way to the second round in four or five games. The thing with Colorado St. Louis is maybe the odds makers aren't giving the Blues enough credit for being Stanley Cup champions two seasons ago. And a lot of those players are still on this team. And then the other thing, too, is I think Colorado's goaltending has been glossed over and given, two thumbs up, a vote of approval, when really it could be the Achilles heel for that Colorado Avalanche team. The President's Trophy winning Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah, a lot of that, I think I saw that the most money on the playoffs has come in on Colorado, at least for Stanley Cup bets. Mm-hmm. So I'd imagine something similar to that is happening with the series. So maybe it's just money also that's pushing Colorado up. Not even necessarily the odds makers' thoughts of St. Louis, but I'm sure there's a little of both of that going on. All right, let's pick the North here. Number one, Toronto against number four, Montreal. I'll go first. I think the Leafs win this series in six games. There's always something about Toronto in the playoffs that I just don't want to trust them to blow anybody out. obviously losing to Columbus last year, they've lost how many times in the first round. I do think they get past Montreal. Montreal has really plateaued since not even the midpoint, like even before that, I feel like is when they kind of started coasting. And do we know what's happening with Carey Price at this point? I know he was dealing with a concussion. And Jake Allen had been filling in and been doing a pretty good job at it. I've still got Price listed as day-to-day. So I don't know if he's supposed to be back. But he should be, I'm reading right now, he should be back by the playoffs. Yeah. And then Jake Allen's an okay number two. So I think their goaltending can get them through a few games against Toronto.
I'm going to throw a curveball at you. I say Montreal in seven.
Wow.
And
I love it.
And here's why. Like you said, Price is day to day. He'll be ready to go.
Yep.
He has been dealing with a concussion. He suffered that against the Oilers a few weeks ago. Alex Chiasson bumped him in the crease on a goal that got called back. Mm-hmm. They're getting Shea Weber back. Brendan Gallagher should be coming back. Philip Deneau might be coming back from a concussion. Josh Anderson sat out the last game. And they're going to have a lot of guys back. And they play Toronto pretty hard. Toronto has a ton of skill up front. But the Maple Leafs, they're Achilles heel, like Colorado, maybe even worse right now, is goaltending. Mm-hmm. Like, they're rolling into the playoffs with Jack Campbell and Freddie Anderson, who just got back into an NHL right. game and was playing for the Toronto Marlies on conditioning stints. He's been out for, it feels like, a month, month and a half. So if Montreal can play Toronto tight and take away time and space from Marner and Matthews, Tavares, Nylander, clog them up, play them tough with those big, heavy defensemen, and find a way to beat Jack Campbell and whatever's left of Freddie Anderson, mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Montreal in seven in this series.
I respect it. I respect the hell out of it. In Toronto, man, like if that happened, I mean,
yeah,
someone's getting fired. I don't know if it's a player or if it's a coach or if it's a GM, but I mean, if they lose again in the first round, I have to think someone falls on the sword for that.
Yeah.
So first time
these two teams are playing each other since 1979, by the way.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Because they were in different conferences at one point.
Yep.
I guess.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, Edmonton, the number two seed in the North versus the three seed Winnipeg Jets. The Jets have just fallen flat on their face in the last couple of weeks. I mean, just going into the playoffs, they lost 8 of their last 10, and I think the number was 10 of their last 12. Mm-hmm. Just brutal. So just on momentum riding into the playoffs, and McDavid, I mean, I'm just the best player in the world. I think the way he's playing right now, he looks unstoppable, and that team with that player going up against really one of the worst teams in the league over the last month, I'm taking the Oilers in five in this series.
Yeah, a lot of arrows pointing towards Edmonton in this series, and for good reason. Even the rhetoric coming out of Winnipeg over the last couple of weeks, Joe, has been pretty dire. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you listen to Paul Maurice, Mark Scheifele, Blake Wheeler, Connor Hellebuck, like, you're not hearing the right kind of quotes and clips from these guys for a team that was flirting with first place in the division a few weeks ago and then just had this massive fall from grace. They have no Nick Ehlers. He might be ready to go by Wednesday for game one, but mm-hmm. that's a huge blow. And add to the fact Edmonton went 7-2 against them this year, and Winnipeg just tried to run and gun with the Oilers, and that blew up in their face in a big way. You could even say in the goaltending department, Mike Smith has been as good, if not better, than Connor Hellebuck this season.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been interesting. Edmonton's defense might be slightly better than Winnipeg's. I'll say this. Winnipeg will try to slow down Draisaitl and McDavid, clog up the neutral zone, play a more defensive game. I don't know how well they'll be able to do that and shift on the fly and get away from their traditional style of play, is run and gun, fast, up tempo, and let the offense run wild. I'll say they do it slightly well, and this game or series goes six, and Edmonton wins in six.
All right. I didn't mention Mike Smith. Normally, if I mention Mike Smith going into a playoff series, it's because, well, this team's got Mike Smith. That could blow up in their face.
Yeah.
But among starting goaltenders this season, he's 10th in the NHL in 5-on-5 save percentage.
Yep.
So he's been, like, right there, I'm looking at it, he's right there on the list with Marc-Andre Fleury and Jack Campbell and Andre Vasilevsky. So I don't think goaltending, the way Smith is playing, if that holds up, is going to hinder Edmonton.
If it was Mikko Koskinen, I would be like, uh-oh, Winnipeg in six.
If he has to come in at any point this series, maybe I'll have to change my pick.
I think Alex Stalock should be the backup. I'm just going to put it on the record, but they've been loyal to Mikko Koskinen.
All right. Edmonton, by the way, is a minus 200 favorite in that series, so a pretty sizable favorite. And then Toronto, as I mentioned earlier, is minus 280 to beat Montreal at BetOnline. All right, we'll take a timeout here. When we come back, we will pick the East, the Central, and the West first round of the playoffs when we come back here on the Locked On NHL podcast with Joe DiBiase and Tom Gazzola.
Stonks, memes, rocket ships, day trading can be a lot of fun, but if you want to grow your long-term wealth and make it to the moon, you should open up a Wealthfront investment account today. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized for you in just minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences you control. Wealthfront can even help you lower the taxes you pay as you invest. For the average client, their tax loss harvesting can more than cover the low annual 0.25 advisory fee. Best of all, it's automatic. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. All you need is $500 to get started. Grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. That's wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL to start growing your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL and get started today. If you have not tried a Built Bar yet, I strongly encourage you to do so as somebody that did not eat protein bars because of the taste. And as somebody, am I a candy snob? Am I an aficionado? I don't know. I eat a lot. Not as much anymore. Growing up, a lot of candy bars. And I'm telling you, Built Bar is a candy bar. It's not. It tastes like one, though. You have 18 amazing flavors to pick from, including 6 new flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. If you go for the coconut almond puff flavor, that is my favorite. And I'm not even a coconut guy, but it's like eating a Mallow cup. That's how good it is. Built Bars are also great for the healthy, conscious guy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and great for keto diets. For example, the peanut butter flavor, 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, only 5 grams of sugar, and only 5 grams net carbs. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15, and you will get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. A word for BetOnline, the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but you got the NBA, college hoops, the NHL, all in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. For these Sabre games, you could bet on the exact amount of which either the Sabres or their opponent will win by. So if you think the Sabres are going to win by exactly 2, you can find odds for the Sabres winning by exactly 2. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. The best way to place your bets, and it is free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag is the site. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Remember to use the promo code Locked On.
Welcome back to the Locked On NHL podcast with Joe DiBiase and Tom Gazzola. We're picking the first round of the playoffs, which get going on Saturday night. Bruins and Capitals will be the first game just after 7 o'clock on Saturday night. Let's pick the East Division. We'll start though with Pittsburgh and the New York Islanders. This one's pretty close in the odds at BetOnline. Pittsburgh is minus 145 to win the series. The Islanders actually have a little bit better odds as an underdog, plus 125, which is pretty close to even. I am going to be going with the Islanders, actually, in this series in 7. I think the style of play that they have, it works to me against Pittsburgh. If they drag them down into a slugfest for 7 games, even though Pittsburgh's had a much stronger season than I thought that they were going to have, the beginning of the year, I thought they were going to miss the playoffs over Philadelphia. The Flyers, I mean, pooped their pants this season, so they were never in it. I've been very impressed by the Penguins, no doubt. But all 4 of those teams are kind of close to me. Their save percentages are all pretty similar. Their goal differential is all pretty similar. Their possession totals for the season are all pretty similar. And I just think playoff time, that Barry Trotz system can really frustrate an offensive team like the Penguins. I think it'll be super close. This is the series I had the toughest time with, but I'm going to go Islanders in seven.
Nice. I like it. I do like the Islanders as well. I'll say Islanders in six, Joe, just to be a little bit different. I like the seven pick, but I'll switch it up a little bit. This is a team last year that went to the conference final, and you know they gave the Lightning a decent go, and I think people forget about that. I think people generally sleep on the Islanders. For the most part, they're the same team. They've added some veteran players in Palmieri and Zajac, even though their impact has been minimal in the regular season since they got traded to the Islanders. But this is a team that I look at and go, well, pretty balanced and pretty strong overall. And so I think that the Islanders will be able to get past the Pittsburgh Penguins. Pittsburgh, we know their big guns are some of the best of all time, certainly of the last two decades. But I look at Pittsburgh and go, how's that defense going to hold up? And how's that goaltending going to hold up? What kind of Tristan Jarry are we going to see? And how are those young blue liners on the Penguins going to do when it gets down to crunch time? And I like the Islanders in this series as well.
Mm-hmm. Penguins, by the way, against Barry Trotz with the Islanders are six games under 500 in the last couple of years. So this year they had a better record. I think 5-3 was the record against the Penguins this season, but or against the Islanders. But playoff time, I think I'm going to trust the Islanders too. They, by the way, I mentioned the odds there. The Capitals and Bruins, another very close series in the odds. The Bruins are minus 163, so a little bit higher than Pittsburgh, and then the Capitals are plus 143 at BetOnline. I think the Bruins are one of the hottest teams coming into the postseason. Taylor Hall has just been, I mean, he's never really been, I feel like, just a goal scorer, but he's kind of fit into that role because David Krejci is more of the playmaker on that line too. He's got 8 goals in 16 games with the Bruins so far. So I think the Bruins have kind of graduated to the last couple of years. They've become this very defensive team that's got one good line. They've become a one line team for the last few years with Bergeron, Pastrnak, and Marchand. And now that line too that they are featuring with David Krejci and Taylor Hall on it. I think they've kind of been rotating through the third winger on that line. Craig Smith has been it more recently, but Ed Coyle has kind of chimed in also. But I think now that the Bruins have a legit second line going into the playoffs, I'm picking them to beat the Capitals in seven. Another close series, though, I think.
I like it. It is going to be a great series to watch. And how about Zdeno Chara facing his whole team in his first year away from them?
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Washington in seven in this one. And I think that they want to rekindle some of the magic from a few years ago. A lot of the guys, they're getting older. This is an old, experienced, wily, veteran-laden team. And I think that they are kind of going to have one more shot at that glory of hoisting the Stanley Cup. And this might be the year where it happens. So I'm going to go Washington in seven. This is going to be a amazing series to watch, I think. We're going to see some physical play. We're going to see some nastiness, Joe. But in the end, when all is said and done, I think the Washington Capitals get out of the first round against the Boston Bruins.
And just, I mean, Tom Wilson and Brad Marchand getting into altercations all through the series. I mean, that's going to – so someone's getting suspended between those two. I think Wilson's probably the favorite.
Hang on. Someone's getting fined $5,000. Let's not ourselves.
Yeah. No, you're right. There's a $5,000 fine. A couple of them coming. Marchand's going to lick Wilson, and then Wilson's going to, like, butt-end him, and they're both going to get $5,000 fines.
That's right.
There's going to be some stupidness between those two, I bet. Yeah. I think they will get matched up, too, because watching some of the Capitals lately, they've had a Lars Eller, Tom Wilson, Connor Sherry line that they've been matching up against the other team's top line. So I think Wilson will get matched up with that top line for Boston. Also, I don't know what's going on with Evgeny Kuznetsov. I remember about a week ago, there was that story about him being late to meetings, like over and over and over. And Peter Laviolette said we're working through it, but he wouldn't get into much detail. He's still listed as day to day and not in the lineup. So I'd imagine he's got to be back for the playoffs just because of the talent. But that seems to be a headache for Washington right now. Anyways, all right. So you've got Washington at seven. I've got Boston at seven. We both think that series is going seven. Let's hop over to the Central Division. You've got the one seed Carolina Hurricanes going up against the four seed Nashville Predators. Carolina a minus 240 favorite. in this series. I think this might be the one that we both agree on. Of any, I've got Carolina sweeping the Predators here. I think this is going to be a slaughter. I think the Hurricanes are the number two team in the league this season in terms of possession time per game. And I've always kind of trusted them being really good. I don't know if they ever have the goalie or the superstar players to get them all the way to the cup, but they're a way more complete team to me than the Predators are. I love their blue line with Jacob Slavin leading the way. So I'm taking Carolina in four.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those warm-up rounds for the Carolina Hurricanes. And good on Nashville for finding a way to get into the postseason in a really wide-open fourth spot in the Central. And, Joe, I'm going to say this. I'm going to predict that Nashville surprises Carolina in game one, and then Carolina just puts the boots to them in the next four games. So I'm going to go Carolina in five.
Okay. All right, so let's go to Florida and Tampa Bay, the Battle of Florida, the first time these two teams have ever met in the postseason. That may sound surprising to you, but then when you really think about it, the Panthers don't make the playoffs all that often, really, throughout their history. So maybe it's not that surprising. Tampa, I'm going to take in six here. They are, by the way, I just had the odds in front of me. Let me bring it back up. Lightning minus 150. I think we went over this last segment, kind of surprising that Florida is getting that much respect. Maybe a part of it is their goaltending. I don't really know who's going to play, though, because all three of them have actually been playing really well. Sergei Bobrovsky's had a really good couple of weeks here. Spencer Knight is 4-0 with a .920 save percentage since entering the NHL this season. And Chris Driedger has been really good for them all season as well. So I would guess Bobrovsky is in net. I don't know if we see any of Spencer Knight throughout the series. So maybe that's why they're getting some respect, that this is the goaltending combination. And Florida does have a very talented team, but Kucherov and Stamkos coming back fresh. I think Tampa's just, they're too good overall. They're one of the best built teams I've ever seen. I'm picking them to win the series in six.
Yeah, you got to like Tampa in this series. And I like what Florida's put together. They've been excellent. They're really catching a lot of good attention around the National Hockey League. Finally, they're not just a team that you're like, oh, they're in town on a Tuesday. Who's on this team tonight? This is a team to take notice of. But I feel like as they kind of ascend to the upper echelon of the National Hockey League, you get some harsh lessons along the way. And I think a six-game series loss to Tampa will do that. They'll take a lesson from losing this year, and then that'll only kind of chart the path forward for them as they, you know, head into a window of some pretty damn good hockey where they might even be a contender at some point in the next couple of years.
Yeah. They need like another one or two more just prime offensive players. Like Barkov runs his own line up top with Carter Verhaeghe and Anthony Duclair. And then Huberto really runs that second line. Even though Sam Bennett is the center, and Owen Tippett, I think, has been on it recently. Patrick Hornquist kind of going back and forth. They could use another like prime offensive guy up front, I think, at some point. All right, to the West Division we go. The Avalanche and the St. Louis Blues, the one seed President's Trophy, Colorado Avalanche over the St. Louis Blues. They are minus 375, the biggest favorite in the playoffs. I'm taking Colorado in four. I think you raised earlier some good concerns about a deep playoff run for Colorado with their goaltending situation and Philip Grubauer. And if he were to go down at any point, am I supposed to trust Devan Dubnyk to get them through? Mm-hmm. So I'm going Colorado in four, but I'm a little wary of their ability to go all the way to the cup.
Yeah, Colorado's been banged up throughout the season. Guys have been in and out of the lineup with bumps and bruises, and MacKinnon just came back. The goaltending situation, I think Devan Dubnyk right now or lately was in COVID protocol. So I do trust Devan Dubnyk a heck of a lot more than Pavel Francouz. I'll say that.
Johansson for sure.
Yeah. Jonas Johansson. I mean, who was it out of Buffalo that had that glaring review of Johansson? It was just hilarious.
It was John Vogel from the Athletic. He said he was the worst goalie he'd ever seen in practice, like or training camp, whatever it was.
Yeah, but, yeah. I thought that was hilarious from Vogel. Anyway, I think St. Louis is gonna muster up some oomph here, and I think they're gonna push this to six. But I think ultimately Colorado wins it in six, and there's going to be a game plan and way for opposition teams to attack the Avalanche by watching this series, and it might be how to get to the goaltenders. Mm.
And then to the Vegas Minnesota series, our final one, the 2-seed Golden Knights, the 3-seed Wild. The Golden Knights are favored by 240 in this series. I think that's rightfully so. I like Minnesota. Like that's been a fun team to watch all year. Kirill Kaprizov to me looks like a star in this league. He's going to win the Calder Trophy. He's fun to watch. They have never really been fun to watch, I would say, throughout my life watching hockey.
No.
Really throughout their existence. I don't think they get there. Vegas is too strong. The Marc-Andre Fleury's resurgence this season, and then having Robin Leonard also in net. You can trust the goaltending. You trust the forwards up front to score goals. The defense is pretty well put together, especially now with Alex Pietrangelo. Vegas almost won the President's Trophy. Colorado got them on that last day. So I'm going the Golden Knights in six. I'll give the Wild 2, but I'm going Golden Knights.
All right. I like that. I like Cam Talbot. I like what he's done over the last 2 years, really refound himself at the NHL mm-hmm. level. And you're right. Minnesota, great to watch them. Finally, it only took 2 decades. But this Golden Knights team is built for playoff success, not only in the regular season, but the playoffs. They know what it takes to get there. A lot of those guys are still there from that Stanley Cup run. A lot of really, really good pieces have been brought in that time. Mark Stone, obviously, Pietrangelo. I can't believe they still have Leonard and Fleury between the pipes. Mm-hmm. This is a team built for a deep playoff run. I'm going to go Vegas Golden Knights in 5.
All right. Well, a couple weeks from now, 2 or 3 weeks, we'll be picking the second round. We'll get some games in to watch, and then we'll talk more about the playoffs next Friday. Me and Mike will do so next Tuesday. Not about his Leafs, because they won't have played yet. But the rest of the series, we'll get a look at. So thanks, everybody, for listening. And this has been the Locked On NHL Podcast with Joe DiBiase and Tom Gazzola, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.